Good afternoon, friends. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Today, it's midday with the mayor. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott joins us on Zoom from City Hall. Mr. Mayor, happy summer. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Tom. Good to be back. Yes, I'm here. Happy summer. Good to talk to you, Tom. All right. Good to be back.
All right. Great to hear from you and glad that we got our connection right. So summer started officially or kind of unofficially last weekend, the first weekend of the curfew that you've imposed on our young folks here in Baltimore. What's your take? What are your folks telling you about how things went last weekend? You're going to be enforcing this on just on holidays and weekends. How did it go last week?
Well, I think, Tom, let's just start back a little bit. You know, this is something that Baltimore's had for quite some time, actually longer than I've been alive, as you know. Over 10 years ago now, when I was a city councilman, I actually changed this law to remove the criminal penalties from it, to make it a civil thing so that we weren't criminalizing parents and young children. But this weekend was a success. And I want to be very clear that the curfew enforcement is different this time. It's not going to be done by police, right? This is being done by social workers, school system employees, recreation and parks, youth ambassadors. Those are the folks who are leading that work, and we're doing it that way intentionally. We are completely redefining how the city can approach its young people, keeping them safe, doing something that, quite frankly, we all know we have done and should have never stopped doing. And that's making sure that I have seen, Tom, young people as young as 4 come into the variety of the versions of curfew center or youth connection centers, as we call them now, and we call them at the last time. And now we are doing that without the heavy law enforcement focus, utilizing every tool that we have, MONSI, MOCFS, city schools, recreation and parks, our community partners like We Are Us. We're really doing this in a way that's very intentional. And we're having the centers at 2 rec centers, Rita Church and CC Jackson, on purpose so that folks know that this is not about detainment. This is about getting those young people and their families the resources that they need. But I know every sensible person would agree that young people, 4 to 14, 15, 16, should not be outside 1, 2 in the morning by themselves, miles and miles away from home.
Yeah, of course. And I think the plan that you've come up with strikes me as very thoughtful and very comprehensive. There is one thing that struck me. You have, as you mentioned, the CC Jackson Rec Center up in Park Heights and then the Rita R. Church Center on the east side. What about for the kids on the west side? Isn't it going to be hard to get, you know, even for the parents to get from the west side to either Park Heights or the east side to pick them up? I mean, did you encounter any of that as a problem this past weekend, for example?
No, I think that where they are, CC Jackson is easy to get to, right? The good thing about my childhood neighborhood of Park Heights that everyone knows where it is. Everyone knows it sits right there on the corner of Park Heights and Garrison. We can get to that, and we have Rita Church, which pretty much everybody in East Baltimore knows about Rita Church, our rec center as well. We picked those 2 locations, 1 on the eastern part of town, 1 on the western part of town. We know that people can get there because of where they are. We want them to be central, but we also picked them, Tom, because that they are some of our larger centers, and we can actually have more activity and programming there too, versus in the past, like when I was a staff person running the center when I was a mayoral staffer, it was just 1 place at North Avenue at what we call Success Academy, where there wasn't much room for programming or things to happen there. It was just literally holding the young people and feeding them until their parents came up. And we're also providing that free transportation as well.
All right. And you talked about music festivals and pool parties and cookouts and stuff that the city's going to sponsor, you know, to give kids stuff to do. Can you give us any insight into what those are going to look like?
Yeah, listen, we're calling it Be More this summer. Right? We are going to literally be doing any and everything to help our young people enjoy themselves this summer. I'm going to start to say that we're going to have over 7,000 young people working through YouthWorks, getting paid for that work, obviously. That's a great thing. Rec and Parks is going to have our summer camps. We're going to have hundreds and hundreds of kids in those camps, thousands of kids in those camps as well. The school system has programming that they're going to have thousands of kids involved in, right? We're also going to be uplifting other things. And the most important part about this, Tom, is that we actually work with 300 young people themselves and say, what do you want to do this summer? How do you think it should work? What should it look like? And that's how we developed. We kicked off Be More Lit this past Sunday at Rash Field, a big party where we had not just the music, the food trucks, the dancing, but also haircuts for the young men and young women. Young men and young women were getting their hair braided and done. Nails were being done. Other resources and organizations were there, and the young people could have a safe, fun time. We are going to be doing those teen pool parties at the park pools throughout the summer on Friday nights for our young people. We'll have more Be More Lit. We have Safe Street, Safe Summer events that's going to be happening. And we'll be uplifting events that are happening through community groups as well. We want everyone to go on to MOCFS's website, which is bemorechildren.org, and you can see all of the programming that we are going to have. There is something for every young person to do, because this is not just about enforcing curfew. This is about providing opportunity for our young people to enjoy themselves this summer as well.
And when they go back to school, you've announced a thing called the Safe Passages Initiative. Mondawmin and State Center are the two spots that are going to start this as priority areas. So what does the Safe Passages Initiative entail?
Yeah, thank you for that, Tom. Safe Passages is an initiative and a strategy really geared to increase safety amongst our students as they travel to and from school. We know that so many of the incidents that happen, violence and other things around our young people, happen in that transport. And we're going to be monitoring public transit areas where we know there's heavy student commuter traffic at the end of each school day. We actually already started to kick this off with Mondawmin. The Safe Passages partners are Monsey, the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement, Mayor's Office of Children and Family Success, City Schools, MTA Police, BPD, obviously. We're going to do that at Mondawmin and State Center. These areas were selected based on a number of student-involved incidents in the area using data from MTA Police, BPD, and City Schools. Each day, Safe Passage Partners, which includes community school partners, will convene at those designated sites from 2 to 5 to monitor student traffic and ensure safe transition from school to home. We're going to be working in partnership with area schools like Douglas, Vivian T. Thomas, Renaissance Academy school communities, and there'll be a push, not just, Tom, for us to monitor and protect kids in transit, but offer other resources to students who express need as well. This initiative really plugs right into the comprehensive youth engagement approach that we've been taking, building on the Squeegee Collaborative, how we're doing curfew to ensure the safety of Baltimore's young people, but also that we're getting them the resources that they need in a very informed way. Monsey and MOCFS began to discuss this initiative earlier this spring as a result of the administration. My administration's really a collaborative focus on abetting the rising tide of youth-involved violence. And the program will be able to demonstrate the initial proof of concept, as we just started that, in the coming weeks as we head towards the end of school. And we'll use those lessons learned to talk about from our initial priority areas about to fine-tune this work moving forward using data from those agencies, again, as we kick off to expanding to additional areas in the 2023-2024 school year.
It's Midday with the Mayor. My guest is Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott. Our email address, midday@wipr.org, if you have a comment or question for the mayor. And so, Mr. Mayor, what you've just described, this initiative, the Safe Passages Initiative, does require a lot of people. And hiring folks has been a challenge for the city overall and for you and many of the people who report directly to you. There's been great staff upheaval. A lot of folks have been leaving, fairly high positions in the city government. I wonder, Is there a through line for some of the reasons that people are leaving? Or are they all individual? And what's your response to folks who say, you know, this is really a matter of great concern. We don't have a fire chief. We don't have a health commissioner. You've just replaced your chief of staff and your communications director. We need a new head of the Department of Public Works. Jason Mitchell will be leaving that job at the end of this month. It just seems like a lot of people. It seems like a big brain drain of some top leadership positions. What do you think's going on?
Well, I'll say this. What I'll say is that we know, Tom, and you know this, anybody that's in any leadership position right now and dealing with HR knows that everybody is dealing with staffing changes and issues, right? The president himself, the United States president, President Biden, is seeing some of that. In fact, as you know, one of the individuals that left us went to go work for the president. And what I would say is that we have a strong team here. The difference, Tom, for us here and the folks that have left and gone on to other things than Baltimore City losing people in the past is that there was a long period of time, Tom, where no other jurisdictions wanted people from Baltimore, right? The new DPW director for my good friend Calvin Ball in Howard County was our water wastewater bureau head, Joseph Cabetta. That's a sign that we actually have the talent and that we have the strong people.
But what does it take to keep them?
Daniel Ramos.
What does it take to keep them? I mean, what do you need to do to
in some cases
keep
you can't listen. Look, Tom, if you have a city administrator and you're not getting rid of that city administrator and the deputy is there and the deputy goes on to be a city administrator in somewhere else, that's the only way that person is going to move up, right? When you think about us needing a health commissioner, that's because Dr. D got a promotion. We have to be able to understand that there are some cases where you won't be able to keep people because there is no way for them to move up. And we're going to be making sure that we're filling those positions. I can assure you that we will be announcing a new fire chief very quickly here. We, as you heard, the world learned through the city administrator yesterday that our interim DOT director will be nominated as the permanent DOT director. We are deeply engaged in the search for a DPW director. We will be filling these positions as quickly as humanly possible. But I want the residents to know that when folks leave here and go on to be, for example, Chris Shorter now is my counterpart. He is a county executive. That is something that we should understand.
He's the former city administrator,
no matter
right.
Who's leading. Yeah, city administrator, no matter who's leading them, and still is a very good friend of mine, these offices and agencies are filled with public servants who do the diligent and hard work every day to make sure that this city runs. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to have the best and the brightest here. We were blessed to be able to fill Chris's shoes with our new city administrator, Faith Leach, who we know is immensely qualified. And we're going to continue to build that and have that talent that we need here in the city of Baltimore, bar none, and we'll do that as quickly as possible. But even Tom, on the ground positions, right? We just had a heck of a recruitment fair at the War Memorial Building with our HR department and our mayor's office of employment development a few weeks ago. The line was wrapped around coming out of the War Memorial, going down Gay Street and down Fayette Street.
That's good to hear.
Wanting to come for city government.
I mean, you mentioned, Mr. Mayor, DPW, for example, the Department of Public Works. At one point, you know, as many as 700 vacancies, 25% of the workforce. You had a program that was offering bonuses for CDL drivers, folks who are licensed to drive trucks. That's been in place now for a few months. How's that working? Are you able to attract the kinds of folks you need?
Well, we're starting to, and it's not just about retracting. I'll be clear about that. That's also about retaining. So that's to keep folks in CDL too. And I think that's one of the things that we have to understand too, Tom, is that it's also not that we're not hiring these people, it's that we keep them. And you and I have had a lot of discussions about solid waste workers and writ large, not just in Baltimore, but around the country, how that's changed. And what we're looking to put in place is how we can retain those folks when we hire them, but also how we start to actually think about building and growing our agencies from within. from within, from our young people that are graduating from our high schools, especially our CTE schools. And those are the discussions and things that we're having. The incentives is still a little new, but we know that we're giving it. People love their incentives. Folks are trying to come. Folks are wanting to stay. But we're going to be looking at that not just for DPW, but across the board. We're actually even, I know fire was a big one yesterday. The fire department is hiring right now for EMT firefighters as well. That goes through the beginning of July. We are going to continue to push to make sure that we are putting people in place to make sure that our government is moving. But if anybody is looking for a job, because we know everyone's hiring, Baltimore City is hiring. Go to baltimorecity.gov. You can click right on their jobs, and we want you to work for your city. We are willing to help you be here. We want you to be here in our city working to make our city better.
Have you found for the folks that you're hiring at your level, the ones who are going to report to you or a person directly under you, that the requirement that the workers in at those level in those levels here in Baltimore City live in Baltimore City is a deterrent, is a barrier?
No, I haven't. Not once. We have people who have moved from all other places of the country, folks who have used to live in the city that moved back, people that were had left the city and are in middle management position that moved back in the city just because they want to do it on their own. We have not seen that as a barrier at all.
And with some of the folks that you've decided to end their employment, you've offered other positions to within the city. And that's explain how that works. I mean, if a person like in your communications department, you've had a couple of folks in that position that you've decided you don't want to have them work with you anymore, but you offered them positions in other agencies in the government. I mean, if a person isn't cutting it, why would that person want to be retained in any position in the city? Just in terms of, you know, the excellence that you're demanding from the folks who are working for you.
I'll say it like this, Tom. Just because a person can't handle the complete weight of government, they can't handle have the right fit to be a part of this part of the team, doesn't mean they can't be on the team at all. And I think let's be very clear. Everyone that works in the agency in the city of Baltimore works for and with me. So it's not that they won't be not working with me. We want to put people in the best positions for them to succeed. And sometimes that means you have to change, right? I changed jobs as a young staffer and city employee from the mayor's office where they wanted me to move to Reckon Parks for a certain reason. And I took that assignment because it was about how my city can be better, help our city succeed by finding the right fit and also allowing individuals to grow in their leadership and their abilities and being put in the right position to thrive and grow as well.
You're in the middle of the budget process. This is the first time that the city council will be able to have really very hands-on direct involvement in the budget. They'll be able to move things around. They'll be able to cut things, add things, come up with a final budget. How would you describe the status of your relationship with the city council? Because, you know, you mentioned Faith Leach, your new city administrator, who is very highly thought of throughout the city, to be sure. Her confirmation process was awfully rocky. All of a sudden in her confirmation hearing, she was voted for the first round of voting, they voted not to confirm her. And then it got fixed and eventually she was confirmed. But that looked like there was, bad communication between your office and the council and a bad vibe between the mayor's office and the council. In particular, the fact that you have to work so closely together on this budget for fiscal 24, where do you think things stand with you and the city council?
Yeah, I'll say again that had nothing to do with Faith's qualifications. She's overqualified for the position. And as a former council person, president of the council, you know, I have a very unique perspective on that relationship between the mayor and the council. And by all means, I'll just say that the relationships are strong. And the council really is a lead partner in helping moving the city forward. There will be disagreements at times, and be quite frank, there should be disagreements, right? Because that's how the city is better. But that is in the course of all of us using our platforms and position to make sure that Baltimore becomes the best city that it can be. What I would say, Tom, is that the times that where there were no disagreements, where there was no pushing of each other, it's why Baltimore has some of the systemic failures that it has. So I, as I always say, I know you heard it from me, you hear it from you, from the comptroller, you hear it from the council president. I don't take those things personally. We have to work together. We have a great relationship. The budget hearings have been going very well. Folks are asking their questions and doing their job as they should as council representatives. And we're going to continue to work forward. And I am very confident that we'll be able to get a budget, responsible budget, passed for the residents of Baltimore as we move forward to the next fiscal year.
Who would you identify as your closest advisors? Who are the folks that you go to, when you've got a big decision to make, when you've got issues that you've got to parse out and figure out how to go? And are you surrounded with folks who you trust, and who are they?
I am surrounded with folks, but those folks are known to be in what I call the cone of silence. And that also means that their identities will be protected. But there are folks who I go to consistently and lean on, and not just folks that are from here. And some of the folks that will be quite okay with that are my friends that are mayors, right? I'll go to Mayor Jones in St. Louis. I'll call up some of our other mayors in other parts of the city, my good friend Mayor Lumumba in Jackson, Mississippi, Melvin Carter in St. Paul, Minnesota. I lean on them, those folks as well, who understand directly how it is to be in my position. But they are local folks as well, but I will keep their identities in secret.
That's fair enough. We just have a minute left here. In terms of the GVRS, the Group Violence Reduction Strategy, and the expansion of that, are you pleased? Are you confident that is proceeding and the progress is happening at the pace that you want? You do have to find a new director of the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement. Shante Jackson will be leaving at the end of the month. Will that slow things down?
That work will continue. It will not. And you know what I've said about that work from the beginning is that we will move at the pace for GVRS, that the pace is dictated by how we are achieving our goals. And we're able to achieve those goals in the West Wing and the Southwest, and we'll continue to do that way. That work will not slow down as Director Jackson departs, because Monsey has a great, great team of folks who is dedicated to that work. And you know that that's a partnership between myself, the police commissioner, the state's attorney, and Monsey. We're going to make sure that work continues. And we want to continue, Tom, to have the impact that we've been able to have in violent crime in Baltimore. Because as you and I talk right now on the air, we have a 17% reduction in homicides in the city of Baltimore, something that we should uplift.
Absolutely. Those numbers are much more encouraging than they were a year ago, to be sure. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate it, and we'll see you next month.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
And coming up next, the best-selling author and artist Hilton Carter talks about his amazing new book, Living Wild, How to Plant Style Your Home and Cultivate Happiness. Hilton joins me after a quick break. And before we go to a break, a word about yesterday's show. Two of our guests, Jolie McShane, the president of Republican Women of Baltimore County, and Jeffrey McDonald, the president of the Patriot Club of America, which is a group based in Baltimore County, appeared on our program to advocate for the removal of two books from Baltimore County school libraries. The two books are Lawn Boy by Jonathan Evison and Gender Queer by Maya Kobabe. Those books deal with immigration and LGBTQ issues. Ms. McShane and Mr. McDonald objected to them being available in school libraries in part because they considered some of the scenes in the books to be obscene. They also asserted that the Bible, the Quran, Catcher in the Rye, and To Kill a Mockingbird have also been banned from county school libraries. They say that if these classic books are not available to students, then Lawn Boy and Genderqueer shouldn't be available either. Well, I called the Baltimore County School System to fact-check their claim that those books have been banned from county schools. They have not been banned. Gabonde Onjalem, a spokesperson for county schools, told me in an email, quote, "We have more than 50 copies of both Catcher in the Rye and To Kill a Mockingbird in our library collections. We also have multiple versions of both the Bible and the Quran in our collections as well," unquote. That claim made by Ms. McShane and Mr. McDonald is false. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.